Good morning. I'm Frederick County Executive Jan Gardner. I want to thank you for joining us for today's public information briefing. Joining me today is County Council Vice President Michael Bloom. You'll be hearing from him in just a moment. Today, we are going to announce two exciting initiatives to move Frederick County forward. I want to begin with some background to explain where we are and how we got here. In April, as I do each year, I introduce our proposed budget for the upcoming fiscal year. In the spring, we were only just beginning to understand how well Frederick County had fared financially during the pandemic. Prior to the pandemic, our economy was booming and thriving. No one exactly knew how COVID would impact our economy, and we actually planned for the worst. We actually planned when we adopted a budget to expect to see a reduction in tax revenue, particularly income tax revenue, and we took a conservative approach to budgeting and, as we do, to managing the county. Now, instead, we're very pleased to report that the fundamentals of our strong and diverse economy continued through the pandemic and have helped with our economic recovery. Revenues, county revenues, have continued to grow, far exceeding our concerns about actually seeing a decline. So certainly our economy has been impacted. However, it's been uneven. Some industries like tourism, hospitality, entertainment, and restaurants have experienced the brunt. Other sectors of our economy actually thrived, like the life sciences and biotech, IT and technology. And some industries like construction and manufacturing just continued on, and some actually have grown their industries during the pandemic. And low interest rates have created a housing boom of sorts, not just here, but around the country, and that led to higher revenues to the county from the real estate recordation fee. We've also had the benefit of $45 million of federal funding through the CARES Act, and these CARES funds help to support our public health response, our vaccination operations, the purchase of PPE, and things like that. And they allowed us to provide multiple rounds of business grants in our community, as well as support individual people who may have lost a job or experience reduced hours by providing rental assistance, food, utility assistance, and more. And some of that continues, in fact, all of that continues today. In March of this year, Congress passed the American Rescue Act, and that has led to another $25 million in federal funds coming to Frederick County's coffers. And in next spring, we expect to get another $25 million. Now, I do want to note that these federal funds have specific purposes. We do not put them in our general fund, so they're not in our budget. They are kept separate in a grants account. And so I do want to say that these federal funds, which have helped us with our recovery, are not part of our general fund budget. But that federal assistance has certainly made a big difference to it. I do want to acknowledge that our economy is different today than it was before the pandemic. It's different in a number of ways, including the fact that you see out there that people can't hire employees. We experienced that in county government. And there's still issues in the economy. And certainly the Delta variant is still out there. We're still seeing increased cases and hospitalizations. So we're still in the pandemic. But I am pleased to say that Frederick County finds itself in an incredibly strong financial position. Recently, the bond rating agencies in New York affirmed our financial strength with all three rating agencies, awarding Frederick County the highest possible rating of AAA bond rating. We are one of fewer than 50 counties in the United States with over 3,200 counties that has three AAA bond ratings. And when we sold our bonds, we got historic low interest rates on our recent bond sale, 1.5% interest on our tax-exempt bonds. And that's actually less than the rate of inflation. So it's actually quite incredible. Thanks to conservative budgeting, strong fiscal management, and better than expected tax revenues, we now know that the county ended fiscal year 21 with a fund balance, actually the largest fund balance in our county's history. Though we have not actually confirmed the exact amount because it'll be audited independently as we do every year in the fall, in October, November, when we close our books. Now, when we presented the budget to the County Council in the spring, we committed to coming back to the Council in the August or September timeframe to talk about fund balance and options because we knew we might have a good fund balance. So as the picture became clearer over the last few weeks, I've talked to Council leadership about it, and I've actually had a conversation the last couple days with every member of the county council. Now, again, I do want to note that fund balance is one time, and we really don't feel like we get good enough information from the comptroller to really explain why we have had some of this revenue come in. So with that, I'm going to say that last spring, and again now, Council Vice President Blue has been strongly advocating for one of his priorities, and I'm going to invite him to publicly share that with all of you right now. So with that, Mike Blue.
Thank you, County Executive Gardner. As County Executive Gardner said, the last couple budget cycles, we've discussed fund balance. Councilmember McKay was very instrumental in bringing that up. And when I learned that the revenues were higher than expected, one of my top priorities was to make sure that some of the money found its way back to the taxpayers. It's their hard-earned money to begin with, so I thought that they would deserve, you know, to have that money put back into our local economy. It's important to be able to offer this during this recovery from the pandemic. So I am proud and pretty excited to introduce a resolution to the County Council to use approximately $7.5 million to put back into the pockets of Frederick County homeowners who need it the most in the form of a one-time property tax credit. If my resolution passes, homes valued up to the county's median assessed value of $328,512 will receive a one-time rebate of $175. By targeting homes assessed at $328,512 or less, we will be helping approximately half of the homeowners in Frederick County. Now, I know some people ask why we didn't simply cut the tax rate to the constant yield, which is something the council hears every year during our budget process. If Frederick County dropped the property tax rate to the constant yield, it would mean an average homeowner would save about $88 a year. And a tax credit that I'm proposing is twice that amount of the constant yield. It is a better overall value and more meaningful because it targets those property taxpayers who need it the most. I think it's important that we take this step not only to help the county homeowners and taxpayers, but to realize that there have been special programs in place to help renters who've lost their jobs or had their income cut because of this pandemic. But there hasn't been much help for those struggling to pay their mortgages. Rental assistance is important, and more than 1,300 rent payments have been made to support local renters, but many homeowners need assistance as well. The property tax credit will help these residents, and it will help them more and than reducing to the constant yield. And also, it's in addition to what has been done to help the county businesses stay in operation during this pandemic. By law, Frederick County is not allowed to offer a one-time property tax credit to business properties. We can only offer the credit to homeowner-occupied and dual-use homes. Dual-use would be when a property includes both a residential and a commercial component, like a first floor housing unit, second floor apartment, and or repair salon, hair salon operating on the first floor. So after reviewing a number of options, I chose a plan that I think helps people who may be struggling that have been left out of all of these other programs. I will ask the county treasurer's office to send a check to every eligible homeowner so the money can be in the hands of taxpayers as quickly as possible. My plan is about saving taxpayers' money. It just makes good sense. I plan to introduce my resolution at the September 28th County Council meeting. I hope to find support from the majority of my fellow council members to able to return this money back to the taxpayers who need it the most and would benefit the most from it. I want to thank again County Executive Gardner for her support of my resolution and for the opportunity to announce the tax rebate during today's briefing. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Blue. I think you probably made a number of people in our community very happy today with that proposal. And I appreciate and understand your desire to return a portion of this one-time fund balance to the taxpayers. So again, in the spring, I committed to coming back to the council once we knew what our fund balance was. And this type of one-time tax credit was something that was discussed with me during the budget cycle by Council Member Blue and a few other council members as one. So again, this is one-time money. I support the proposal. It balances what we're doing out there. We have been assisting rental properties with rental assistance. We've been assisting businesses with $17 million of grants, and this adds to that and really, I think, supports what we're doing in the county to try to help our economy recover, because I expect most of this money will circulate back into our economy. We are fortunate to have enough one-time funds available to have this $7.5 million for this purpose, and also to have some additional one-time money to invest in our bright future. So I want to present and share today another opportunity that will be going to the County Council a week from today that I believe is an important opportunity for us to seize, and that will make long-term good sense for the county and really help provide efficient, effective services to our community into the future and really save taxpayers money as well. We have the opportunity to purchase the large commercial property at 800 Oak Street that we have been leasing for our high-volume COVID-19 vaccination clinic. Now, prior to that, the property, which is in a pretty prominent place along US 15, has been home to United Healthcare's call center. And prior to that, for those people who've been around for a while, it was home to State Farm. Frederick County has submitted a letter of intent to purchase the property. And but of course, we need to have this go to the County Council. The site is centrally located. It's easily accessible from Route 15, Interstate 70, 270, and the Golden Mile. The property is massive. There's more than 209,000 square feet of space on 26 acres of land, including about 9.5 acres, close to 10 acres, that's at the back of the property that will provide lots of flexibility through the future for additional uses. And again, we're not going to really say what those might be at this point in time. Well, again, this is not something I originally planned to do. We're seizing the opportunity that was presented to us, and it's very helpful that we do have the one-time money to purchase this property. I believe it's a win-win for the county, and it's good long-term planning. It will allow us to eliminate several projects in our construction CIP, or Capital Improvement Program, and over the next few years, it will allow us the opportunity to move some of our county services that are running out of space to a central location that offers plenty of parking and a good location. By consolidating some departments under one roof, we'll be able to sell some of our smaller properties in the county and return those to the tax rolls. My staff and I have spent several weeks identifying and evaluating a number of opportunities and potential uses for the Oak Street site, though I want to make clear that we haven't made any final decisions here. But I want to use one example and one opportunity that this building presents. During the budget cycle last year, our emergency management staff requested that we build a new state-of-the-art next-generation 911 center. And they estimated the total cost of that would be about $32 million. Now, we could not fit that into our capital improvement program, so we put about $1.8 million in an out year to begin the design and engineering of that. But this facility will allow us the potential to locate this facility at Oak Street. Obviously, when you do a 911 center, there's a big cost to install computer fiber and phone lines, which is substantial. This building, since it was a call center, already has high-tech connections in place, which will greatly reduce the cost of installing a call center there. And we'll be able to avoid not just the $2 million that's in our CIP now, but also the $32 million construction costs that would be out in the future. And this allows a number of things to happen. So if the 911 center goes there, our backup would then be at the public safety training facility. The backup is now at the law enforcement complex. That space could go back to the sheriff's office, which has also been looking for space. So a lot of things can benefit from this. The Oak Street building has enough room for other existing services to be located there. We know we need expanded space for citizen services, for family partnership, for our senior services, and for the health department, just to name a few. The Oak Street location also includes a truck dock and warehouse space, which would allow us the option, again, to move DPW maintenance operations from a location on Pine Street on the east side of the city of Frederick. Again, we haven't made these decisions yet, but that would potentially allow us to save $2 million in renovation for that existing property. There's a lot of opportunities out there. There's even an opportunity that we could open a library branch on the west side in this building, which was the top request I heard from the public during this year's budget process, and possibly do it sooner. And we have confirmed that the state money that we get for our libraries can be used for renovation as well as for new construction. We're fortunate, again, to have enough money in the fund balance to cover the purchase price of the property, which is $20 million. And I'm happy to say we should be able to offset a large portion of that with reductions to our CIP, which we estimate to be about $10.5 million, and with the possible sale of some of our properties, making the net cost of this purchase somewhere in the $7 to $8 million. Now, we will have to add some money for renovation for this property, and we can do some of that right now, and some of that maybe over future years, because there's always a cost to relocate people. So, you know, but we can avoid a lot of future construction costs, and I think it's a great opportunity for the county. Obviously, we will have to renovate the space for our use, and we will be locating services there over time. As we improve the property, our goal is to make it a net zero in energy usage through the installation of solar panels and other energy savings, another great opportunity for us to lead by example. In the end, we'll have a county facility with ample parking that will serve our community well for many decades. We can easily provide transit bus service at Oak Street because our existing routes are not far away. The location is within walking distance for a number of neighborhoods along the Golden Mile Corridor, including Linden Hills, Overlook, and Hillcrest. If these aren't enough reasons to purchase the property, that 9.5 acres of vacant land, it provides us with all kinds of opportunities. We could sit on that property and use it for future county uses. We could use it for an affordable housing project. We could use it for a variety of things. And again, we've made no specific decisions on that. So you can see why I thought it was important for us to seize this opportunity and why I call it a win-win for the county. Now, in order to complete this purchase and take advantage of this opportunity, the county council will need to approve some budget amendments to our budget, and they'll have to add a capital project to our CIP for the acquisition of the property. Staff is preparing a presentation to present to the county council at their workshop next week, and there will ultimately be a public hearing. So we'll have multiple meetings. All of our discussions will take place in public because we always value having that open and transparent process. So with the council's approval and agreement, the county would hope to settle on this property sometime in the middle of October. So I'm pleased that we're able to seize our opportunities for the future and to continue to secure a bright future for Frederick County. I think these two proposals are smart moves. They balance the needs of our community. They support our tax payers through a one-time tax credit, and at the same time allow us to make good plans to make sure we provide efficient services to the people and who live and work in Frederick County well into the future. At the end of the day, it's all about making life better for our community. Now, I do want to say one more thing. Whenever we have some one-time money, people often say to me, we need schools, we need new schools, we need new schools. We should use that money to help accelerate school construction. And we know an elementary school loan can cost $45 million or something like that. So I do want people to know that I will be presenting a plan to accelerate school construction next spring, along with our budget presentation, to take advantage of additional state money that will be made available specifically for Frederick County through the Built to Learn Act, which passed the state legislature. That puts more money into the state coffers, and we, of course, have to match it. So I'll be bringing forward a plan to address school construction at that time and to really accelerate what we're doing in that part of our budget. So I do want to say there are definitely other needs in the county. We try to balance all the things that we do. And so stay tuned for more discussion of this at the county council meetings over the upcoming weeks. And with that, I thank you for joining us for today's public information briefing.